Hey there, everybody. My name is Damon Phillips. I'm here to discuss home studio recording for music, voiceover, or podcasts. Now, when you're recording at home, there's a lot of things you need to keep in mind. More often than not, you're going to be doing almost everything by yourself, including recording, directing, at times script writing, unless you're doing freelance voiceover work, or even post-production music. And more often than not, a lot of people will overlook some things in order to have more of a one-up on other things. For example, some people think they need to master a digital audio workstation and get a really expensive one. However, in the meantime, they don't have a good microphone to go along with it. Or some people do the exact opposite. In fact, I find that more people do the exact opposite and just think that a good microphone will do everything they need it to do. For example, if I got a $1,000 audio setup and I had no experience with my workstation versus someone who only had $100 for their entire equipment, they could still produce better quality content due to the fact they have more experience. You need to find a nice fine line of balance for what you want to go. You need quality equipment, but you also need experience. Otherwise, it's entirely worthless. However, let's talk about some of the equipment that could be useful for a home studio setup. There are a ton of different microphones that you can use in terms of whether they be USB microphones, XLR microphones, or even some 3.5mm microphones can get the job done for a little bit. Granted, you're not going to want to be trying to get paid for these. More often than not, if you want to do this professionally, especially voiceover and music, you're going to need to get an XLR microphone. Eventually, at least. USB microphones can do just fine. However, more often than not, USB microphones aren't going to be as high quality due to the fact that the internals just don't stack up to XLR microphones. More often, what they have to do is they have to take the signal that's analog, convert it to digital, and they do all of that in a less than, at times, $100 setup, or a $100 or $150 setup. And in the end, this leads to inferior sound quality. Therefore, if you want to get serious about your audio quality, it's best to go with an XLR microphone. However, this leads to a very complicated setup. USB for simplicity, XLR for quality. That being said, there are a ton of microphones that are under $100 that can do just fine, including microphones like the Blue Snowball, which is very popular with YouTubers and streamers, and just people who need a microphone for doing personal projects. The Blue Snowball is very cheap, and it sounds okay for the price. Not something I would take to a professional studio, but if I just had to do a couple personal projects for school, or maybe do a recording for work, I think it would do just fine. Then there's the Samson Meteor, which actually sounds a lot like a microphone I will be talking about in a bit, called the Blue Yeti. Now, these microphones are under $100 and can get the job done. They aren't going to sound amazing, however, they can sound just fine. There's one XLR microphone under $100 that, if you get an interface with it, can cost you less than $100 and you'll do just fine with it. Pick up a Behringer Euphoria UR, I believe it's the UMC22. And then get a Neewer NW800. This won't sound amazing, however, it'll sound pretty good for the price. At around $100, there are quite a few microphones that you can choose from. You have options from the AT2020 USB to the Blue Yeti, as well as a couple other USB microphones scattered here and there. However, the AT2020 and the Blue Yeti seem to be the most popular at the time. Stepping up to around $200, there are, once again, quite a few microphones. One that I recommend for $200 would probably be the Rode NT USB. It's one of the best USB microphones I've ever heard. This being said, it won't stack up to an XLR microphone, but more people, as long as you're doing some post-production, doing EQ and compression, it can sound amazing for the price. In terms of XLR microphones around $200, pick up something like a Focusrite Scarlett Solo and an SM58, and you'll get amazing quality. Or an Encore 100 from Blue. Or if you want to go for a condenser microphone, Audio-Technica makes the AT2020, which is around $100. If you pay $100 for your interface and then $100 for your microphone, you can get a pretty good quality. However, stepping up to $300 is when you're going to break into some pretty amazing sounding stuff, especially for the price. For the audio interface, I once again would recommend something like a Focusrite Scarlett Solo, as this sounds very good for the price, and it won't break the bank, and it sounds pretty good. And then for microphones, there are a ton of microphones around this range, including the 18-2035 from Audio-Technica, which sounds amazing for the price, and the Blue Spark. The Blue Spark has actually held up reasonably well against professional equipment. I'm talking microphones that are well over $3,000. In a sound comparison, the Blue Spark does hold its own against something like the Neumann U87 AI. Now the Neumann costs around $3,600. It's not a cheap microphone. It's very expensive and it sounds amazing. And the Blue Spark can hold its own. For the price, it sounds amazing. From there, microphone quality does seem to diminish a bit for price to performance. And more often than not, they come with extra features, such as extra polar patterns, or low-pass filters, or the like. It really just matters on what you want to go with. However, it's good to keep in mind that if you want to go for a condenser microphone, you need phantom power. Many interfaces will supply this. However, more often than not, with that extra phantom power you're getting from that, and the fact that with a normal audio interface, you're going to get a little bit of noise in the background. What I recommend for this is getting a preamp. Preamplification can be great for microphone quality, no matter the microphone or the interface. What a preamplifier allows you to do is plug your microphone into that, crank the gain up on that just to get the sound you desire, and then plug it into your interface, which allows you to lower the gain on the interface and keep the preamplifier nice and loud. Your microphone will sound clear, loud, and amazing due to that preamplifier. There will be very little difference between it in terms of quality. However, if it's not a great interface, a preamplifier can make the difference from a really good mic to a mic that is totally useless. Now, there are a ton of preamplifiers out there. If you want to go for something cheap that will just do the job and give you a nice little increase on gain, allowing you to drop the gain on your interface, get something like a FETHead or a Cloudlifter CL1. The Cloudlifter CL1 is only for dynamic microphones. However, Triton Audio, the makers of the FETHead, make a FETHead Phantom and a FETHead Normal. The FETHead Normal is used with dynamic microphones, and the FETHead Phantom is used for phantom-powered microphones, condensers. So if you're using a ribbon or dynamic microphone, get the FETHead or the Cloudlifter CL1 if you want to pay that extra price. Or if you're using a condenser microphone, pick up the FETHead Phantom. Now, in terms of software is also one of the most important things for the fact that if you don't have it, you're not going to be doing much. There are a ton of free options out there, including Audacity, which I have worked extensively with. Now, for the price, which is nothing, it's amazing. You can do all the stuff you need to do while having multiple tracks, and it comes with a ton of effects that allow you to do everything you need to do. Eventually, when you want to start paying for your software to allow you to do more with your audio and increase your workflow, the number one audio software I recommend is Reaper. Reaper is an amazing program for this. Reaper is incredibly customizable, it delivers pro-quality sound, and comes with a ton of extra audio effects, including EQ, compression, and a ton of others that some you might not even think you'll ever use, but you'll end up using at some point. Ton of options, incredibly customizable. If you want to use something that's a lot more costly but can still do amazingly, I recommend Adobe Audition. Adobe Audition is not cheap, but it can definitely get the job done. It's around $20 to $30 a month if you just want the single app. However, if you want to go for the Adobe Audition suit, it's often $40 to $50. And the Adobe Audition suit, mind, is Photoshop, Premiere, After Effects, and Adobe Audition, as well as one other that I seem to be forgetting. Whenever you get your software, you need to learn it. If you don't learn your software, then you're not going to be doing anything with it. You can record into it, but after that, what are you going to be doing? It's just going to be raw audio. Sadly, this isn't going to get you much. As learning to use your software and effects can increase your audio quality exponentially. afterwards, once you learn how to use your software properly, then comes recording. Of course, how are you going to do anything voiceover related if you don't record in the first place? There are a ton of things that can help you record or aid the recording process just to make editing and post-production a little bit easier. The first thing can be finding a voice. Finding your proper voice that you want to do all your voiceover work for. And this is just as simple as getting behind your microphone and recording something. Do a different variety of voices. Try really deep. Try higher. Anything can work for you, and you never know the limitations of your voice until you push the limits. You're not really limited by anything but your creativity. Eventually, if you want to get your voice really deep, then you need to practice at it. You're not just going to be able to become Earl Grey Jones in a day. Work at it, and you can do something amazing. While recording, afterwards, you're going to want to be doing editing. Once you're editing, there are a ton of things that can make the editing process go by a lot quicker. Depending on your editing software, it can be just as simple as tweaking a few options, or in case of my editing software, Reaper, I personally have macros set up just to make my editing process go a little bit quicker. However, there are some things when you're recording, you might be alone in your studio, or you might be the only one in the room and you don't have a director or an engineer. This can be simply... For some people, this is just not an option. They have to be solo because they're just starting out. There's nothing bad with this. However, there are a few things you can do while you're alone in the studio to help you kind of speed things up. For example, let's say you're reading a script and you make a mistake. Let me pull up something here on my phone just to give a little taste of what I'm saying. So every time you make a mistake, it's good to have a marker for where you made your mistake. Now this can be very easy. It is very easy. There's not even can be about it. It's as simple as just... That's right. All you have to do is snap. Afterwards, in editing, it creates a spike in your waveform that allows you to notice where you made your mistake and where you can edit it. It's very simple, and I'll give you a little bit of an example right here. This is something I wrote for Daniela Giaconda's Tuesday show called Trivia Tuesday. Hello, and welcome to Trivia Tuesday, where our host, Daniela Giaconda, asks our two guests several questions. Of varying degrees of confusion. On today's episode... Now, even if I made just that one mistake, that saves me a lot of time in having to listen through the entire thing. So instead of having to listen through the entire thing, I can find out where that snap is, and then make a rough edit just by reading the waveform. It's very simple, and it's something that not a lot of voice actors do that can really save a bunch of time. However, if you're ever doing long-form narration or doing an audiobook, doing this repeatedly, one, it's not consistent, and eventually your thumbs will get sore. I know this firsthand. As yesterday, I was reading a story for an audiobook. I was reading the first chapter for an audiobook, and I made quite a few mistakes. Throughout the entire thing, I was snapping every time I made a mistake. And eventually, my thumb felt numb. It felt sore, and so did my middle finger. So that's why you can get a dog clicker. This seems like an odd thing to pick up, but with a dog training clicker, you just press the button and it makes an audible snap. A snap that you just have to press a button for. It's effortless. And it's consistent. So no matter what, you'll always be able to find exactly where your mistakes are. Now, in terms of editing and after recording, there isn't a lot you can do while you're recording besides making note of where you make mistakes or finding a proper voice. However, in post-production, you can make yourself sound much, much better. It's always good to learn how to use EQ and compression. Using these two can help your audio significantly. It can make your voice sound... It can make your it can make your voice sound much better. And it's just something that's as simple as finding an EQ that works for you and then editing it once and then sending it on your chain. What I usually do is I'll do a bass roll-off around 60 hertz and a high, and then a high roll-off at around 1800 hertz. These hertz, these frequencies don't tend to be activated by the human voice, and often is just accompanied by noise. Doing this gives you a little bit less noise in your audio. However, in terms of what you want to do for your actual EQing for your voice, what I tend to do is I tend to do a 3 decibel drop around 100 hertz, and then I do a de-essing drop of around 3 decibels at around 5,200 hertz. You might also boost your highs a little bit just to make your mic sound a little bit more bright or clear. This can do a lot for your audio. But keep in mind that this has always worked for my voice. What works for my voice might not work at all for your voice. And likewise, what works for your voice might not work for anyone else's. It's something that you have to personally make. It's not easy, but actually, it is easy. It just takes a little bit of time. But it helps your audio significantly. Next is compression. Compression is one of those things that if you plan on getting really loud and really excited because you're talking about something that's really, really cool, then it can help. What compression does is it takes the highest points of your track and lowers them down. It takes the highest point and the lowest point, and it brings those together a little bit. The best way to edit to do your compression is to talk normally and then set your compressor at just above your normal speaking level, perhaps activating the compressor if while you're normally talking at your peak. That way, when you're yelling, it will activate the compressor. Usually with voiceover and compression, you just want a 3-to-1 ratio or a 5-to-1 ratio if you really don't want that sound to be as noticeable of a difference. However, it will be noticeable, keep in mind. However, it won't deafen people. For example, if you heard right there, that yelling didn't really sound all that loud. Usually, I tend to keep a quick attack time whenever I'm using a compressor. And I don't really edit any of the other settings, because I really don't have to. A gate can also help, however, it's not necessary if you have a quiet workspace. What you want to do for a gate is just find out where your normal talking level is, and then talk at a whisper. Talk at a whisper. Talk quietly as if you were reading a very calm part of an audiobook. And then you want to set your gate below that. That way, any noises that fall below that, or breathing, get captured by that gate and don't get into the final cut. Well, this has been Damon Phillips with Home Studio Recording for VoiceOver. Use any of these. Record something. You never know what might happen if you start recording. You could become the next Morgan Freeman or the next Earl Grey Jones. But hey, you'll never know until you record something amazing. Now get out there and record something amazing.